Hello, welcome and thank you for joining us and listening to our podcast, The God Beyond the Bible. Our podcast is released weekly each Friday. The content of each episode is based on the questions and curiosities we all have about God and the Bible. Many of our topics are considered taboo in the minds of the mainstream church. You will find our discussions to be, I think, refreshing and often far from traditional. But we don't just skirt around these complex issues, but confront them head on, and not in the way you're used to hearing them discussed on typical Christian talk shows. I'm Alan Rowland, creator and host of The God Beyond the Bible. As of the launch of this podcast, I've been a pastor for more than 35 years. My co-host is my daughter, Trayson, and our engineer co-producer is my daughter, Tabitha. Our mission is to encourage our audience, along with us, to open our minds to the reality that God is simply too big to be fully explored or experienced by the reading and studying of a single ancient work. In short, the Bible's not the sum of God, and to think this is to limit what He has done, is doing, and what He will do in our future. So with introductions made, thank you for listening, and let's dive into the topic of the day. All right. Welcome, listeners, to God Beyond the Bible, the podcast by seekers and for seekers. And as always, thanks for listening. And I was going to say that's the only reason we do what we do, but we'd probably, I don't know if we'd do it if nobody listened. I don't know if I would know if nobody listened. You guys may be just telling me there may be nobody listening.
It's really just us and Kirk.
Is there anybody out there, Kirk and Stephanie? Charles is out there.
Yeah.
Just reminding everyone what we're about. We believe that God uses the Bible to reveal Himself to mankind, but that His ability to speak to us, to inspire and move us, is not limited to the pages of a single work written by a few people of antiquity. God's not behind us, but in front of us, beckoning us into a personal relationship with Him in real time, not merely a vicarious relationship based on the experiences of other people.
Right. And before we jump into our shout outs today, Dan and I have been meaning to do this, but we really want to thank Trayson for all the hard work she puts into
the graphics
and making sure everything's uploaded.
The wording on the paragraphs that come in, it's all the keywords.
You do an awesome job, so thank you very much.
Done, so. Thank you, guys.
Now, do we have any other shout outs?
We do. We have Dan, Nicole, SLM, and we have picked up quite a few listeners in Ireland, Canada, Tunisia, and China. So that's hi awesome. To all of you guys out there.
I roughly know where some of those are. don't make me put them on the globe. Shout out to all of you though. I don't know how that works if it's translated. Of course, English is a second language to a lot of places. It's
And I also wanted to say too, on our website on the bottom right hand side, there's a little red bell. And if you tap on that little red bell, you can subscribe to us. And you will get a message every Friday morning when the new episode goes live.
It notifies me on my phone. Google notification.
I haven't done that on my iPad.
Yeah, I'll show you my iPad.
Okay, absolutely. This shows you I'm the tech guy. last week we tackled that topic of sin and what we believe is a settled issue. Not to say that there are no consequences for bad choices. We have His Spirit to lead us and direct us. And when we go against that internal leadership, there are consequences. But as far as the sin keeping a person from knowing God in the salvation experience, God removed that barrier through Jesus Christ. We talked about that last week. Mm-hmm. So we don't want anyone to get the impression that we think sinful choices and behavior doesn't come with consequences. God put certain natural laws into place concerning how we live in society and treat one another. And like all physical laws, they apply, just like gravity. Gravity applies to everyone. Jump off your rooftop, there's going to be some consequences.
That's right. And today our episode topic is going to be healing, cures, and medicine.
And that brings us here in segment one. We're going to discuss the body's natural ability to heal itself.
Well, the truth is, when the body is functioning correctly, it has a built-in design to try to heal itself. Now, we believe that God built this design in because we do believe He's the designer.
We do.
And I'll never forget before surgery I had, my doctor told me, he said, I can't guarantee that this will be 100% because our bodies are built to heal themselves. And he said, you wouldn't be the first person who your body just...
Reversed the surgery.
Right. So how long would we last if there were no built-in healing mechanism in our bodies? I mean, we'd still be walking around with every childhood illness, scrape, and injury still inflicting us if we were even alive at all.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't be because I was a clumsy child. I still am clumsy. But if you think about it, it's a pretty amazing thing that the body does. You know, something miraculous when it does things like grow broken bones mm-hmm. back together or heal lacerations and abrasions.
Yeah, we kind of take that for granted in a way, but I mean, that's a pretty amazing, that's amazing design, isn't it?
It starts, you know,
I wish I could get my car to do that.
Yeah,
I get my car.
Nice?
I think I get my car to do that. Okay, never mind. No, I'm sorry, Tracy.
No, it starts immediately when you get a scratch yeah. and the blood starts to clot and scab over, and mm-hmm. it's just incredible to me.
Yeah. Hope nobody's eating breakfast while we're doing
this.
Sorry,
guys.
What we sometimes don't consider is that the human body is designed to heal itself internally as well as externally. Of course, we all know that the immune system plays an important role in all this, and that's why people who suffer with immune disorders and diseases, in which there are many types, are so likely to suffer serious consequences from illnesses and diseases that, well, most of us encounter these everyday germs and pathogens and we suffer little or no consequences.
Right. So when we speak of the body's natural ability to heal, we are speaking of a healthy body functioning normally, and our hearts go out to folks whose immune systems are
dysfunctional. Yes, yeah. Yes.
And there are many documented cases where an observation, diagnosis, and an attempt to correct a problem, doctors have discovered folks whose body has performed a natural heart bypass. The body actually grew new veins to bypass blood around a blocked area of the heart, and somehow these veins not only grew around the affected area, but they rerouted and successfully reattached and formed a natural bypass.
That's
pretty cool.
Is it not?
Yeah,
it might not have been 100% effective like a bypass we would do, mm-hmm. but guys, it kept the person alive.
Yeah.
The body kept itself alive. Many people for this reason believe that if we could tap the power of the mind, we could direct and persuade the body to heal itself in many, if not most, serious cases. Now, doctors do not dispute that the state of mind and attitude play a definite role in the healing process. Mm-hmm.
So this brings us to the end of this segment with the thought that the thing medicine was originally designed to do, and for the most part still is to aid the body in its natural healing process.
Right, and we're going to talk about that more in this next segment, but that's really what we do. What can we do to make the body's natural?
Right.
I mean, how can we enhance? Is that mm-hmm. what we're looking for? How can we enhance? And that's kind of how medicine all got started, I think. So if no one has anything else, I guess that's the end of segment one.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to segment two of our podcast, God Beyond the Bible. Here in segment two, we're talking about a discussion on healing. And if you have some story you would like to share with us concerning this topic or any topic, we really would love to hear from you.
We would, and you can send us an email at email@godbeyondthebible.com or leave us a comment on our website under this episode. You can send us a tweet, or you can contact us on Facebook.
Tweet.
We'd love to hear from you. And I'm tickled now. In segment one, we discussed the body's natural healing mechanism that we believe God designed into the original man and has been passed down since genetically. We ended that segment with the idea that the purpose of medicine is to aid the body's natural healing functions.
Well, in this segment, we'd like to discuss those aids to healing we call medicine. And we're going to talk about both the natural medicines and cures and the commercial pharmaceuticals. Did you guys look? Did I spell that right?
No, but...
Did I not?
It's okay.
There's no D. Yeah,
it's T.
That's right. Suticals. But it's still a 15-letter word, right?
Yeah, it's a big one.
Pharmaceuticals. How did I see it? Put that D anyway? So anyway, let me say this again. We'd like to discuss those... I was so proud of that 15-letter word I typed. We would like to discuss those aids to healing we call medicine, both the natural medicines and cures and those commercial medicines alike.
Okay, so speaking first of natural cures and medicines, this has become a multi-billion-dollar industry in the U.S. in the past 3 decades. And yeah, there's a lot of deception and snake oil pushers out there. If a person is considering using so-called natural cures, they definitely need to do their research.
Yes.
Especially if you're already taking a prescription drug, mainly because some natural herbs and medicines, they really do work, and they may contain the same healing properties and compounds as the prescription you're taking, and in essence, you could overdose your body.
And a good doctor will warn you about that. He won't say, hey, you just don't need to take that. You're liable to have some interaction. He'll just,
well, and I wanted to throw in here, you know, a lot of people don't realize that things that we take over-the-counter, like aspirin, mm-hmm. are actually derived from salicylic acid that you can find in jasmine and beans and peas and clover.
So you could really be up in that
yes.
compound that works.
Which is why we have around here, a lot of people make red clover tea.
Yeah.
And that is an anti-inflammatory because of the salicylic acid in it, because of the
aspirin. That's just a pretty neat thing.
Let's consider the principle that Adam, according to the Bible, was taken out of the earth. Our grade school biology really seems to support
that. Stop right there. I didn't take it until eighth grade. But I noticed with my grandkids are doing biology. What, at my age, okay. Because when I first wrote that, I wrote my eighth grade biology. It's like, wait a minute. Kids are taking that in the third grade today. Yes. Okay, go ahead.
Well, and we learned that the human body was made up of minerals and such that were found in the earth itself. And a lot of people argue that with this fact in mind, when the body malfunctions, that it's because it's deficient in something and that something is found naturally on the earth itself. And in this process, the plant is able to take those vitamins and minerals from the soil, absorb them into themselves in a form that us humans can consume that plant and absorb that vitamin, mineral, or whatever.
And it's a process. And let me throw in here, we all probably know this, you hear this. That's why soils like commercial farming, where they use the same crop on the same farm year after year after year, you know, 20, 30, 40 years, it has depleted the trace minerals and things. Now, I have researched this, and it has depleted. So really, we've got a plant that's supposed to have the minerals and vitamins we need, but since they're not getting them out of the soil, that has been depleted out of that soil from overuse, continuous overuse. Then we're eating plenty of that. It's like, you know, why am I eating that? Well, I eat plenty of that, but it's not helping
there,
me.
And that's not always. I mean, there are farmers who they purposefully rotate their crops so that they can put the, you know, minerals back in
and
there.
And that's why homegrown gardens, but people could deplete their homegrown garden.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, eventually a piece of ground without resting a piece of ground will lose its
And I really firmly believe that was the reason that God had the Israelites every seventh year rest from planting their fields.
He did, yeah.
Makes sense.
And give it time.
It was a true geological reason that the earth needs to rest too.
It may have been. Is it me?
It is you.
It seems that this is the driving thought process behind earliest medicines. That if you think about it, a generation or two ago, our ancestors were pretty darn good at diagnosing and treating certain illnesses and ailments. And now, many believe that these natural cures were learned for the most part from the Eastern cultures or Native Americans, or even our American ancestors. They were pretty good and made a lot of contributions to the herbal medicines and cures. But speaking for myself, my mom and grandfather used, our grandmother, I didn't know either one of my grandfathers, my mom and grandmother used all kinds of natural cures and medicines that had been handed down in their family for generations. Now, the reason I'm doing this part is because you girls know nothing about this. We had annual dosings. And then you have to be my age to understand. Some of you have what? We had annual dosings, if you will, of concoctions that were designed to kill worms, boost the immune system, and along with some other things I'm not going to talk about on the radio that they were designed to do that mom and grandma thought needed to be done every year. But let me tell this story. Once as a small boy on the farm, I received a nasty cut on my leg. One severe enough that it might deem a flight on a helicopter today. I mean, I'm serious. And without being too graphic, Tracen, I received the cut from jumping off an old farm truck with a torn fender that caught the calf of my leg when I jumped. And now it was serious. So I squeezed my pant leg tied around the wound and went to the field where my parents were working. And when I showed up, when I showed my mom, she yelled for my dad. He grabbed me up and ran me to the house. I think I was about 5 or 6 years old. Dad put me on the table. Mom grabbed the kerosene lamp, unscrewed the top, removed. Now, you're going to have to... Oil lamp, guys. You can look at the store if you don't know what it is, but most people do.
Use the Google.
But, yeah, we had a kerosene lamp, and she took the globe off of it. She unscrewed the top, removing the wick, and she soaked the wound with kerosene. Now, somebody say, well, it was probably cola. I don't know, but it was out of that lamp. It's what ran. It seemed to me that the bleeding stopped almost immediately. Mom soaked a bandage in kerosene. She wrapped it around my leg. And, you know, in a week or so, the wound was just healed up into a scab and a scar, and I was walking around back, jumping off the truck again. And no infection from the rusty fender. And, you know, there was never even a thought that we'd need to rush him to the doctor.
Wow. And, you know, we have a neighbor who I have seen her cure ringworm and plantar warts and all kinds of ailments that I would have never imagined, and she will just go and wrap some things up and duct tape them to her grandkids, and within a couple of days it'll be completely healed. And it fascinates
me. Well, we kind of think that's so weird, don't we? But if we, this is our mindset, we'll go down and the doctor gives us a balm, the doctor gives us a salve, put this salve on.
It's going to take care of it. That's okay. That's it. So this will be a good time to discuss the feud, if you will, between the medical field and the natural or herbal medicine community. The reality is many of our pharmaceutical prescription medicines we use today are derived from a natural cure. Some are even made from a chemical or compound extracted directly from a plant.
The aspirin, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, the drugs we use today are just synthetic versions of a natural chemical or compound. And I gotta say, I mean, Tracen and I see the same doctor when we go, and she is very much believes in herbal. I mean, you know, she'll give you a prescription, but if you guys think back to when DJ was really sick a few years ago, you know, she, instead of just putting him in the hospital or giving a blood transfusion because his blood counts were low, she gave him vitamins and stuff to boost let his body rebuild.
Let his body heal itself.
Needed.
Yeah.
So what role does money and profits play in this feud? And how has money and profits affected the medical industry as a whole?
Well, go ahead.
Well, I have to dive back to our previous, where we were talking about synthetic versions of a natural chemical.
Uh-huh.
Do you know why they're synthetic?
Well, but yes, I do, because I think we answered this later, maybe in the deal, if you had read the script. No, I'm just saying, because you can, a chemical compound that you make synthetically, you can patent that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's money, so it's yours, it belongs to you.
Right. That's right.
You go out here and get an herb out of the ground, you can't patent what God made. You can't say, that's mine, I came up with this myself. And that's really what it's about. Well, and we know that, guys, money just messes up everything.
It does.
I mean, you know, we can't live without it, and it's the society we live in. But now, you know, profits have become so important in it. And, you know, a lot of folks don't think about it. We don't think about this when we're sitting, going to the hospital or going to the doctor. But some of these big institutions are investor funded.
Mm-hmm.
And so investors expect what?
Returns.
Well, yeah, and that's kind of what it comes down to. So, but the feud, we're talking about the feud between them. That's the whole thing. Tracen answered it. The reason there's a feud between them is because there's a lot of money. I don't have to tell anybody here that's ever taken any medicine or has to take medicine regularly. There's money in that.
Well, yeah.
It don't cost $50 to make that little pill.
No.
And we know, so it's not about cost. It's about what you're willing to pay.
Right.
All right, let's get off of that. Is it my turn?
It is your turn.
Well, some will argue that the body does not react as well to these synthesized chemical compounds as it does to the elements found naturally in plant form. The argument is that the plant is designed to break down the elements into a form that the body will naturally process and absorb. That makes sense, does it?
It mm-hmm. does.
And that the body's not designed to process chemicals.
Right. And, you know, in a lot of Eastern cultures, natural cures and medicines are esteemed much higher than pharmaceuticals. In some cultures, the family physician is paid regularly when the family is well, and the pay ceases if the family member falls ill. Wonder how that would work if we did that here.
That seems to be the way to go, I think.
Yeah, wouldn't that be something?
Yeah.
You pay the doc, hey, doc, you're not getting your check this month. Billy's sick.
There you go. So for this reason, many natural herbs and such are used to boost and maintain wellness. This concept would certainly change the whole patient-doctor dynamic, wouldn't it?
Yeah. We call ourselves a wellness center.
Uh-huh.
But we don't, I don't know.
Well, guys, this might be a good time to go ahead and bring up the elephant in the room. Let's discuss marijuana.
Okay. I'm sorry if I offended anybody, but then I waited all day to do that. All right.
Well, there's all of this debate over legalization that's been going on for the past two decades. Will we ever get an honest and truthful consensus on the benefits of marijuana, considering the resistance from the medical community? I mean, after all, in most states where medical marijuana is being used, it's legislated by the voter, not implemented by the medical society. So, do y'all have any comments on why the medical society is so reluctant?
You already said it a while ago.
I did.
It's natural.
Yeah.
There's no... Now, state of Arkansas has just recently... We are about to implement... And, in fact, here in Clinton, Arkansas, I think we're going to have a dispensary.
Yes.
You know,
and they're actually already in the state of Arkansas. They're selling... You know, they are...
Growing.
People are getting the medical marijuana
okay.
now.
The point of it is going to be so expensive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The process... I followed the process of the growing and what the growers have to go through and then the dispensaries. Mm-hmm. This is going to be so expensive. There's always going to be an illegal market for marijuana.
Well, yeah.
But because it's going to guarantee... That's my opinion.
And what is mind-blowing is there's actually less money to be made in prescribing marijuana because most people don't need a secondary medication to cover or eliminate side effects. And I started doing some research into this, and I found out that... Did you know that drug companies actually spend twice the amount of money trying to influence doctors than they do on research and development of the drug itself?
Well, I don't think I've ever been to the doctor when there hasn't been, and I don't want to call them a pill pusher, but, you know, the drug reps come in and they, you know, I've never been to a doctor's office that they haven't come in.
They're called a detailer.
Yeah, a detailer. I thought that's the guy I took my car to.
Yeah, they're called detailers.
I got a friend that does that down at Big Branch.
Something that I didn't know is that they always bring a gift for the doctor.
Let me tell you a quick story. We're running way over time on this segment, but we were short on the first one. I'll tell you one about Tabitha. Tabitha was little, and she couldn't take this particular formula, and I'm not going to say what it was because I still remember the name of it. And the doctor just insisted give her, and she would throw it. I mean, it was terrible. It was projectile. You know, it was terrible. You couldn't be in the room. Look out. Look at her eyes. I think she's about to do it. It's about to happen. But anyway, and so we finally, a friend of ours worked at this doctor's office that Twan and I knew, and we were, you know, associated with outside the doctor. I said, why will he not change? Because back then you prescribed. The doctor actually pushed
the formula.
The formula. Yeah. And so I said, why will he not do this? And she said, outside the doctor, she said, let me tell you something. He gets a trip to Hawaii every year. If he pushes so much of this particular formula, he is not going to change that because he gets all kinds of perks. Mm. You know what? That really turned me off when I had a kid that was just throwing it.
Yeah.
That was really a turn off. Well,
and I did find out too that there are regulations that went into place in the last 10 years that one, stop them from getting gifts that are over $100 at a time, and two,
we can give them 10,000 gifts.
Well, two, there is a website called the Doctor's Open Payments website, and every doctor in the U.S. is listed and how much money they get from what companies.
But nobody, I mean, when you're sick and you go there and you're bad sick and this is what I'm going to prescribe you, we're not thinking about that, are we?
No, we're not.
Okay, even alcohol has some deep roots in medicinal purposes. Municipal purposes, medicinal purposes, although it's primarily used in recreational form today. Do you think it's wrong to use alcohol and reduce stress and relax as opposed to prescription meds that basically serve the same purpose? I mean, can't either be used or abused?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I will admit that I do use alcohol for, I have severe anxiety and insomnia, and sometimes
now
I
we know why you can't read the script.
Yeah, exactly. No, sometimes I can take one drink and I can go to sleep and have a restful night's sleep instead of taking four of these pills from my doctor's office that will make me feel awful the next
day. And what about, you know, like red wine is good for your digestive system,
heart.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's
kinds of things. Yeah. So, well, we've coming up in several episodes down the road. Alcohol is going to be one of the things we're going to look at. We're going to look at Bible and alcohol. So we can take that up there. That brings us to the long end of segment two.
Everybody, welcome back to segment three. Today's topic on God Beyond the Bible is on medicine and healing. And in segment one, we discussed the body's natural design to heal itself, and that led us to the main purpose of medicine, which is to boost the body's healing mechanism.
And in segment two, we discussed medicines and cures, both natural and man-processed pharmaceuticals. And we ended the segment with marijuana and alcohol.
Well, not
you
literally.
You spelled it right
not,
there.
Not literally. Not literally.
No,
we
not literally.
We ended the segment with marijuana and alcohol. Okay.
But I do want everyone to know that Alan did spell pharmaceuticals right.
And it is still 15
right.
letters.
Yes.
In this segment, we'd like to take a brief look at the role medicine played in biblical times.
Of course, one of the main things that attracted great crowds to Jesus seemed to be his supernatural healing powers for any disease or ailment that existed in his time. Many believe that he passed this ability down to his disciples and that they in turn passed it down to the believer even today in the form of the gift of healing given by the Holy Spirit.
So are there still supernatural healings today?
Well, there are. Probably more than we'll ever know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, almost every religion or culture has certain individuals that are accredited with healing gifts. The modern church seems to, I don't know, have somewhat moved away from this supernatural gift. Why do you think that is?
There's probably, is it be too big to answer, but we're just, let's just be honest with you. I mean, the short answer is modern medicine's taking its place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The modern medicine has really taken out the, I mean, it's medicine first, but let's go ahead.
Well, and I want to point out here that not everyone gets divine or supernatural healing that seeks it. It seems like there's no set in stone process to divine healing.
No.
And maybe that's what scares people away from using that.
Sure.
You know, I mean, I don't know.
Maybe it won't work, but you know, we're the same thing if we take medicine.
That's
it
true.
May not. This may not work.
That's very true.
And we still advocate prayer. And
yeah, well, sure.
Studies have shown that people who believe in and implement prayer really have a much faster and higher recovery rate than those who don't.
And as I say, those studies have been done by medical societies.
Mm-hmm.
And they even did one time. This I don't know, we're running.
No,
we don't
run
out. But they did one time where the people did not know they were being prayed for. They did not tell the people in the study in the survey that they were being prayed for, and they even healed faster and had a higher recovery rate. They can't explain it, but they did had a group of people said, we want you to pray for this person, but don't, and they didn't, and they had other people they didn't
right.
pray for that had the same thing. Well, most of us agree that whether it's by the body's natural process or the aid of herbs and medicines or strictly a supernatural result, God deserves the credit for healing, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He designed it into the body. He made the herbs and the natural cures, and he shared them with man. And he inspires the folks who discover healing drugs. I believe that. That's just my take. One of the greatest advances of all ages was the discovery of antibiotics. Do you know, we just take for granted that people don't die from infections like they used to.
Right. Oh, yes.
I mean, you know, but one of the greatest discoveries was the discovery of antibiotics, which when you research how it was discovered, though it is declared just an accident, it is nothing short of a divine act of God's toward man, a divine act from God towards mankind.
I look at the same thing when I look at polio vaccine and things like that have really changed the world and saved millions upon millions of lives.
Yes, absolutely. So what about medicine and cures in Bible times? Did they exist? You can't talk about the medical field in the Bible without pointing out that Luke, the writer of the gospel account and the book of Acts, was not a Jew, as were most of Jesus's close followers. And unlike many of the other followers of Jesus whose occupations were tax collectors, fishermen, or farmers, Luke was a physician. He was a doctor. And this might explain why he recorded more of Jesus's healings than any other gospel writer. It was something, you know, he was very interested in from a secular standpoint.
Well, you would be if you're a doctor, right?
Yes.
And we have the event of the woman with the issue of blood that was healed when she touched the hem of Jesus' robe or garment as he was passing through a big crowd of people. The writer tells us that she'd been bleeding, which was probably a female disorder,
that's right.
For many years. I think it said 18.
I believe that's what it was.
And the interesting thing is that we're told that she had exhausted her resources on doctors and medicine seeking a cure, and she didn't find one. I think the Bible said that she had spent all that she had seeking a cure. And it makes you wonder if Luke may have been familiar with this woman or maybe even tried
patient?
To treat her.
I think she might have been a patient.
It's possible, especially with the note about how many years she
had. You're wondering if Luke didn't know a little more about this gal than some others did. Well, there were natural cures or natural sources of plants that were deemed to have curative powers. Even Jesus seemed to sometimes use unusual methods to his healing. One that sticks out in my mind is like the time he spat in the dirt. He steered it into a bomb, if you will, and he placed it on the eyes of the blind man. Now, it would be interesting to me to know if he implemented such methods regularly. You know, maybe those got left out. Maybe some of the stuff he did.
Right.
Did you ever think the writer just didn't see what he did? Maybe he got
or didn't
left
understand it maybe enough to even.
And maybe in a bunch of the other healings that are not recorded, he did stuff like this.
Right.
And why did he do that? Did you ever wonder?
Yes.
Everybody said, well, his spit was divine. I mean, but he spat in the dirt, put it on the dude's eyes.
And he could see.
He said, go wash this off.
Yeah. I don't know. The book of Jeremiah speaks of the balm of Gilead, which is derived from a plant that still exists today.
This one's fun, guys.
Okay.
There's actually a big battle.
Wasn't that like a stink root?
Well, there's a big battle in the Middle East that about which tree it is.
Oh, really?
Yes. They have the mastic, the zukum, and the terebinth tree. And different areas of the Middle East claim that they are the original Balm of Gilead tree. But nobody's for sure which one it is. So you can actually go online and you can purchase the Balm of Gilead from any of the
three
trees.
But it may be, I would be curious, are they botanically close?
Yes, they're all similar trees.
So in other words, they might be out of the same species of
they
tree.
They have a very
now, am I wrong about this when I researched this?
Scent.
Don't they stink?
They have
it's
a
the
very
root,
strong
isn't it the
scent.
Root?
Yes.
The root of the tree? It's stink root.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
They call them highly perfumed is what they refer
oh, really?
To
highly
as.
Highly perfumed.
I think we're on 8 there, Tracy.
Oh, I lost it.
Okay.
There is a great market for natural herbs, roots, and plants found here in the U.S., like ginseng and golden seal, and numerous others that are gathered, sold, and even shipped to other countries who tout the healing properties of these natural medicines, and we back it up by paying high prices for
it. I think
it.
A friend of mine, friend of ours that mm-hmm. gathers ginseng, mm-hmm. I think he said this year, or maybe he was talking about last year, it was like $600
Yeah.
Is that a pound or?
I don't know.
I mean, by
I'm
the
not really
I mean,
sure. But you know, I don't think we put enough stock into natural remedies. DJ was reading last night, and I didn't even know that blackberry leaves.
Yes.
They have a really healing
yes,
quality.
Blackberries.
Yeah.
Now let me just throw something else in here about this natural stuff. That's why people believe that if you eat things from your area, like the blackberries that pull out of the soil of your
uh-huh.
area, if you eat things near your area, they're closer to your, I don't know, this is crazy.
Well, guys,
but
I will tell you
they
that.
They have the stuff in them that you really need because it's from your area.
Because it's local. Huh.
I will tell you that I have not had the allergy issues that
yeah.
other people in the area have had since I've been getting
local
honey from about 2 miles away from where we are here. And I have had no allergy issues this year.
That's pretty interesting.
I mean... I'm not going to dispute that you know what you're talking about. I'm just,
no,
you know, it's kind of like garlic. When I took garlic and stuff, I'm just
yes.
be honest with you. When I regularly took mm-hmm. garlic and knew it was garlic, and you got to be careful. There's charlatans out there. There's people selling pills, and this pill is and all of this stuff. You guys, do your research. You know, pray about it. Do your research. But there's a lot. I mean, we have lost here in its Western society. We only think about being well if we're sick.
Yes.
Other cultures concentrate on being well pretty much all the time.
Right.
To sustain. Are we ready?
I think we're ready.
My conclusion. Man will continue to seek avenues of healing as long as they're suffering and disease. In this age of modern medicine, we as Americans place a great value on doctors and medicine. If you haven't paid one lately, you know that. There's still a lot of legitimate testing and research that goes into developing new medicines, mainly because there's a great profit in developing drugs that treat any ailment. The reality is, that's exactly where medicine's found itself today. We're not about healing an ailment as much as we're about treating the ailment.
Right.
Let's be brutally honest. The pharmaceutical industry is interested in profits, and there is no profit in developing a medicine that the patient can take once and be cured. In fact, you don't even hear much talk about healing anymore. We hear phrases like, use this medicine to treat this or treat that, or to help manage your illness. Mm-hmm. Or, do you hear that? Kind of phrases? Your manager. We don't like to consider just how big a role money and profits play in the medical field and industry. Now, especially if you're sick.
Yes.
These profits are why there isn't a great deal of research being done in the field of natural treatments, herbs, or cures. Let's be honest. You can't claim the patent right on some herb that grows naturally, including marijuana, and is, with other useful knowledge, much of the art of natural cures and healing is being lost forever to our society, who looks almost solely to synthetic developed medicines for treatment and healing. I'm just making a statement. I can't remember a lot of the stuff my grandma used to do. She had something for everything, and whiskey was one of them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother kept a bottle of whiskey. She was a teetotaler. If anybody knows, we'll talk about that at some point in the future, but she was a teetotaler. It was just, you know, it was like the demon alcohol, you know. But
right.
But she did keep, I think it was Southern Comfort. Is that a whiskey?
Yes.
I don't know.
I think it was.
Did I answer that too fast?
Yeah, Tracy knew exactly. I don't tell you how much it cost and where it is, which store to buy. Anyway, it was, but she would do it, and she would mix up a concoction, and it worked. Okay. Well, we look forward to hearing your comments on this topic. So until next time, from Tracy, Tabitha, and myself, God's grace, peace, and love on you, my fellow seekers, from all of us at God Beyond the Bible.
Did you enjoy listening to God Beyond the Bible? Do you have an idea for an episode? Connect with us today. Visit our website at godbeyondthebible.com, all one word, or send us an email at email@godbeyondthebible.com, or you can visit us on Facebook. Just type God Beyond the Bible into the search bar.